Unit 6. Lesson 1. Money problems. Practice 1. Money. More or less. Words you need to know.
Shareholder. Shareholder. Flashy. Flashy. Edward Stocker. Edward Stocker. Vanderholt Communications. Vanderholt Communications.
Exercise 1. Directions.
Listen to the passage and decide whether the statements you hear are true, T, or false, F.
The chairman of a company in England cut his own salary by just over 16% this year, even though the company's profits were up. Amazed staff and shareholders heard him say that he couldn't spend all the £80,000 he had earned last year. So he had decided to pay himself £13,000 less this year. "I don't need all that money to enjoy myself," said Edward Stocker, head of Vanderholt Communications. "I don't lead a flashy life. I enjoy beer as much as an expensive meal." His employees were glad to learn that he didn't expect them to do the same. They would receive a 7.5% rise in pay.
1. The chairman was forced to get less money this year. 2. The company was earning more money. 3. What the chairman did surprised his staff and shareholders. 4. He enjoyed expensive meals. 5. All the workers would receive more money.
Exercise 2. Directions.
Listen to the passage again and fill in the blanks with the information from the passage. You may read the exercise before listening.
Practice 2. Unpleasant money. Words you need to know.
Civilized. Civilized. Prospects. Prospects. Depressing. Depressing. Logic. Logic.
Exercise 1. Directions.
Listen to the passage and answer the yes-no questions you hear from the recording, pretending you are Henry's brother. My brother Henry has an excellent job at a bank. I couldn't believe him when he told me that he had decided to give it up. Though I tried to make him change his mind, I failed completely. "You should reconsider your decision," I said. "You have already spent 5 years in the bank, and you could have a wonderful career. You might become a bank manager by the time you're 35." "I know," Henry answered. "I've got no complaints with the bank. It's a pleasant job in pleasant surroundings, and we keep civilized hours. The bank manager told me that my prospects were excellent." "Then why do you want to leave?" I exclaimed. "It's the money," Henry said. "But you're getting a good salary," I answered. "I don't mean that," Henry said. "What do I do at the bank?" "Well, at the moment, all I do is to count money. I find it very depressing." "What's depressing about counting money?" I asked, unable to follow the logic of Henry's argument. "You don't understand," Henry answered. "I enjoy counting my own money, but I hate counting other people's."
1. Has Henry got a good job? 2. Didn't he tell you that he was going to give it up? 3. You believed him, didn't you? 4. You did try to make him change his mind, didn't you? 5. Did you succeed in making him change his mind? 6. Does Henry like counting other people's money? Exercise 2. Directions.
Listen to the passage again and answer the following questions briefly. 1. Where does Henry work? 2. How long has Henry been working at the bank? 3. At what age might he become a bank manager? 4. How are Henry's prospects in the bank? 5. Why does Henry find his job depressing?
Practice 3. On money. Words you need to know.
Primitive. Primitive. Coincide. Coincide. Skull. Skull. Portable. Portable.
Exercise 1. Directions.
The passage you are going to hear is about money. Listen carefully and put a tick before the goods that have once been used as money systems and what are regarded as advantages of metals.
Money is used for buying or selling goods, for measuring value, and for storing wealth. Almost every society now has a money economy based on coins and paper notes of one kind or another. However, this has not always been true. In primitive societies, a system of barter was used. Barter was a system of direct exchange of goods. Somebody could exchange a sheep, for example, for anything in the marketplace that they considered to be of equal value. Barter, however, was a very unsatisfactory system because people's precise needs seldom coincided. People needed a more practical system of exchange, and various money systems developed based on goods which the members of a society recognized as having value. Cattle, grain, teeth, shells, feathers, skulls, salt, elephant tusks, and tobacco were all used. Precious metals gradually took over because, when made into coins, they were portable, durable, recognizable, and divisible into larger and smaller units of value. Exercise 2. Directions.
Listen to the passage again and finish the following sentences.
Exercise 3. Directions.
Listen to the passage for the third time and find expressions from the passage that have the same meaning as the following.
Practice 4. Hayseed and taxi driver. Words you need to know.
Hayseed. Hayseed. Vanish. Vanish. Minimum. Minimum. Root. Root. Accuse. Accuse. The Continental Hotel. The Continental Hotel.
Exercise 1. Directions.
Listen to the tape and write down the sentences you hear. 1. The taxi finally arrives at the entrance to the hotel. 2. I just won't be cheated. 3. The taxi driver hasn't had a single passenger all day. 4. I think I should call the police. 5. He quickly parks the taxi and opens the door.
Exercise 2. Directions.
Listen to the passage and put the sentences in Exercise 1 in the right order according to the tape.
The following is a part of a short radio drama.
It's a dark, cold, rainy night. The taxi driver hasn't had a single passenger all day. When he goes by the entrance of the main railway station, he sees a young man from the country coming out, carrying 2 suitcases. Aha, thinks the taxi driver. Here's an opportunity to make up for the rest of this bad day. He quickly parks the taxi and opens the door.
Where do you want to go, sir?
To the Continental Hotel.
When the taxi driver hears that, his hopes of a profitable trip vanish. The Continental Hotel is barely 2 blocks away. The most the hayseed will give him is $1, which is the minimum fare. only $1. What bad luck. Then the idea of taking his passenger by a longer route occurs to him, a route that goes all around the city and then back to the Continental Hotel. This he does, and after a long time the taxi finally arrives at the entrance to the hotel.
You owe me $30, sir.
What? $30? Do you take me for a fool? You're trying to cheat me.
How dare you accuse me?
You must think I don't know my way around.
But
only last week I took a taxi from the station to this hotel. I know how much the trip should cost.
Oh, all right. Now look,
I think I should call the police.
Oh, no. Please don't do that. I have a sick wife and 4 hungry children.
All right. This time I let it go.
Oh, thank you, sir. And you're right. The trip isn't worth $30.
You don't have to tell me that. I may come from the country, but I'm as smart as you city folks, and I know how much the trip ought to cost.
Yes, sir.
I just won't be cheated. I won't pay you a cent more than I paid the other taxi last week. $26.
Exercise 3. Directions.
Listen to the passage again and answer the following questions briefly. 1. How far away is the Continental Hotel? 2. How much does the driver charge? 3. As an excuse, what does the driver say to ask the young man not to call the police? 4. Does the young man pay more than he ought to? If so, how much is that?
Happy Minute.
Learn the new words by heart. Listen to the passage and answer the following questions. Second hand. Second hand. Bazaar. Bazaar. Principal. Principal. Triumphant. Triumphant.
1. Why did the customer argue with the writer of this passage? 2. How much was the change?
Selling second-hand books at our church bazaar, I got into an argument with a customer. He was interested in buying The Pocket Book of Ogden Nash, but said it was too much at 35 cents. Other paperbacks were selling for 15 cents each. I pointed out that the book was in good condition. Nash was a fun poet, and it was for a good cause. He said it was a matter of principle. Finally, I agreed to sell him the book for 15 cents. Triumphant, he paid with a $10 bill. Keep the change, he said.
Lesson 2. Money and Honesty. Practice 1. The Price of Dishonesty. Words you need to know.
Ashamed. Ashamed. Ali. Ali. Mustafa. Mustafa.
Exercise 1. Directions.
Listen to the passage and answer the questions briefly.
Once there was a boy called Ali, a poor fisherman's son. As he was going home one evening, he saw an old man lying by the side of the road, seriously ill. The boy was very kind, and he helped the old man to the nearest hospital. The old man thanked the boy and asked for his name and address. The boy was ashamed to admit that his father was a poor fisherman, so he said, "My name is Mustafa, and my father is a teacher." A few days later, the old man died in the hospital and left all his money to Mustafa, a local teacher's son who helped me in my hour of need. Of course, because Ali had lied, he did not receive any of the old man's money.
1. What did Ali see on his way home one evening? 2. What did Ali do? 3. Why didn't Ali tell the old man his real name and address? 4. What happened to the old man a few days later? 5. What did the man do before his death? 6. How do you think Ali would feel when he heard the news?
Exercise 2. Directions.
Listen to the passage again and fill in the blanks with appropriate words or expressions to complete the summary of the story.
Practice 2. The price of honesty. Words you need to know.
Unmanned. Unmanned. Cash register. Cash register. Rockingham. Rockingham. Vermont. Vermont.
Exercise 1. Directions.
Listen to the passage and decide which is the best answer to each of the following questions.
What's the price of honesty? $97.50. A group of motorists in Rockingham, Vermont, made one gas station manager believe in the goodness of human nature. After the clerk at the village station quit mid-shift, he left a self-service pump unmanned for 2 hours. Yet drivers didn't take advantage of the chance to fill their tanks free of charge. Instead, when they tried to go inside to pay and found the station locked, they slipped the exact amount they should pay under the station door. Police discovered the situation when they received a call from a worried customer. In the 2 hours the station was left unmanned, motorists pumped gas worth $97.50. Later, when the gas station manager counted up the day's earnings, including the bills and coins police found on the floor just inside the door, the cash register contained $98.03, which was 53 cents more than the amount of the day's sales. It proves the honesty of Vermonters, the manager said.
1. What was the gas station manager made to believe in? 2. What did the motorists do when they found that the gas station was unmanned? 3. How did the police discover the situation? 4. Which of the following sentences is true? Exercise 2. Directions.
Listen to the passage again and choose the right expressions or clauses in column B to complete the sentences in column A.
Practice 3. At a bank. Words you need to know.
Transaction. Transaction. Commuter. Commuter. Teller. Teller. Deposit slip. Deposit slip.
Exercise 1. Directions.
Listen to the passage and decide whether the following statements are true, T, or false, F. A commuter hoped to make a quick transaction at his bank before catching a train to the city to go to work for the day, but was disappointed to see a long line in front of the one working teller. So much for that idea, he thought as he walked out. Then he saw the drive-in window with only one car waiting. Happily, he ran up and stood behind it. When the customer drove off, the commuter walked up to the window and handed the teller his paycheck and a deposit slip. The woman gave him a straight look. "Where's your car?" she asked. "Over there," he said, pointing to the railroad station parking lot. "What do you mean, over there? You're supposed to have a car. This is a drive-in window." The commuter pulled out his wallet. "Look, I can prove I have a car. Here's the license." "Oh, all right," the teller said reluctantly. "Just don't let me catch you trying to bank on foot again."
1. The commuter went to the bank before going home. 2. Many people were waiting to make a transaction in front of the teller. 3. The commuter stood in the long line in front of the drive-in window and waited for his turn. 4. The teller refused to serve the commuter because he didn't have a driver's license. 5. The commuter had left his car in the railroad station parking lot. 6. People were usually not allowed to bank on foot at that drive-in window. Exercise 2. Directions.
Listen to the passage again and choose the appropriate word that best describes how the person feels or looks in each of the sentences according to what you get from the recording. 1. The commuter saw a long line in front of the working teller. 2. The commuter ran up to the drive-in window and stood behind it. 3. The teller asked the commuter, "Where's your car?" 4. The teller said, "Just don't let me catch you trying to bank on foot again."
Practice 4. An incomplete story. Words you need to know.
Briefcase. Briefcase. Banknote. Banknote. Gasp. Gasp. Bundle. Bundle.
Exercise 1. Directions.
Listen to the passage and answer the following questions briefly.
Dorothy said goodbye to her secretary, picked up her briefcase and left the office. As usual, she walked to the underground station, stopping to buy a newspaper on the way. She sat down on the train and read the headlines on the front page. The main story was about a bank robbery. She decided to do the newspaper crossword, and remembered that she had put her pen in her briefcase. She put the briefcase on her knee and opened it. She gasped. Inside the briefcase were several bundles of banknotes.
1. When did the story take place? 2. Where did the story take place? 3. What did Dorothy do when she got on the train? 4. What was the main story about? 5. What did Dorothy see when she opened the briefcase?
Exercise 2. Directions.
Listen to the passage again and put the following expressions into the right order. Write down the numbers only.
Exercise 3. Directions.
Use your imagination to complete the story, then compare it with your friends.
Quiz 2. Part A. Directions.
In this part, you will hear 8 short conversations between 2 speakers. At the end of each conversation, you will hear a question about what was said. Listen carefully and decide which of the 4 choices is the best answer to the question you have heard. 1. Stephen, I am sorry to hear that you fell down and broke your leg.
I'm all right, but my wife's father fell.
Question. Who was injured? 2.
The chicken dish is really salty.
So is the salad. Question. What does the woman mean? 3.
What'll you do with your cat when you leave for vacation?
I'm having Ken take care of it. Question. What will happen to the woman's cat? 4. Johnny, how about listening to the concert tonight?
I'd love to, but I have to go to the post office, and then my wife and I must attend a party tonight.
Question. What is the man going to do first? 5.
That was such an interesting movie. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
I must admit that I felt sleepy after the first 30 minutes. Question. How did the woman feel about the movie? 6. Haven't seen you for a while, Joe. Been busy at work?
Yes, I've been looking for some new people to work in the office, and it isn't easy. Some of these kids just out of school aren't as clever as they think they are.
Question. What does the man think of the graduates? 7. When is John coming?
Well, he said he'd be here at 8:30, but if I know him, it'll be at least 9.
Question. What does the conversation suggest about John? 8. Hi, Bob. Come on in. I'm glad you could make it to the party this evening, but where's Jane?
She sends you her apologies. She has a big exam tomorrow and wants to be sure she's ready for it.
Question. What is Jane probably doing this evening?
Part B. Directions.
In this part, you will hear four short statements. Each statement will be read just once. Listen carefully and decide which of the four choices is the closest in meaning to the statement you heard.
9. We reached the station at 7:50 p.m., missing the train by 5 minutes. 10. Bob's used to drinking coffee. 11. He kept working until he finished. 12. Jim surprised his father by working hard. Part C. Directions.
In this part, you will hear three short passages. Each passage will be read twice. After each passage, you should pause the recorder and try to write down its main points in your own words.
Passage 1. A university professor recently made several tests with different animals to find out which was the cleverest. He found out that the monkey was cleverer than other animals. Passage 2.
When Tom left school, he did not really know what he wanted to do. He first worked in an office, but he found that it was very boring. That was also the trouble with his second job in a car factory. He then decided to work out of doors and got a job as a gardener in a park.
Passage 3. I'm taking my family abroad this year. We are going to go by train to New York and then take a ship to Europe. When we arrive in Europe, we're going to rent a car and drive wherever we want to go. Then we'll return the car. We are planning to fly home. Part D. Directions.
In this part, you will hear two passages. Each passage will be read twice. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. After you hear a question, you should either decide which of the four choices is the best answer to the question you heard, or answer the question in your own words according to the passage. The questions you should answer are also printed in your book, but you should read them only after you hear them from the tape.
Passage 1. How long have you worked for AmAdmel, Jill?
Only for a year. It's May now, isn't it? Yes. I joined last August, in fact.
August 1996.
Yes.
What did you do before that?
I used to work for a travel agency in London.
It sounds interesting. Was it?
Not really. It was just secretarial work, rather like this job. And it wasn't too well paid. But I took a secretarial course when I left school, and I couldn't think what else to do.
So you went straight from school into a secretarial course, did you?
Well, not quite. I left school when I was 16 in 1989, I think it was. And then I went to work in a hotel in Austria for a year to learn some German.
Austria? Why Austria?
I don't know, really. Well, we used to go there on holiday quite often when we were younger, and, well, I like Austria, actually. Anyway, then I went back and did the secretarial course. That was a year's course.
And then you got the job at the travel agency, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right. That was in 1991.
So you were there 5 years.
Yes, it's awful, isn't it? Actually, I'm thinking of giving it all up to become a nurse.
Really?
Well, I worked in a hospital in Twickenham during my last year at school, just cleaning and helping to make beds and so on. It was part of our practical careers training.
And you liked it?
Yes, it was interesting. Question 13. What did the woman do immediately after she finished school? Question 14. How long has the woman been doing secretarial work? Question 15. What are the two reasons the woman went to Austria? Question 16. What makes the woman think of becoming a nurse?
Passage 2.
Of all the sciences, only two are subjects that have a direct and noticeable effect on our lives every day. One is meteorology, the study of weather. Heat, cold, sun, and rain affect us in many ways, in the kind of clothing we wear, for example, and the types of activities we do outdoors. Each time we spend money, or it is spent on us, we are contributing to the economic life of our country, and, in fact, of the world. Most people have a basic understanding of the weather. But how many people feel comfortable with the subject of economics? Often, economics seems to be a mysterious subject. Newspapers and television use terminology that can resemble a foreign language. They speak of the gross national product, the cost of living, the prime rate, the money supply, productivity, the unemployment rate, the balance of payments, and so forth. In some ways, economics is like an enormous jigsaw puzzle. Each piece is basic, but the pieces interconnect one to another in a large picture. To look at the whole picture, you must begin piece by piece.
Question 17. In the present context, which of the following facts does the speaker want to emphasize about the study of weather? Question 18. What will the speaker most probably continue to talk about next? Question 19. What does economics affect according to the passage? Question 20. Why should people examine economics little by little?